Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to the Comic-Con Podcast, Season 2, Episode 10. We are recording this on March the 10th, 2022. Of course, I am one of your hosts, Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime. Been a busy week here in New Jersey, but I always got my buddy Manimal. What's going on, Zach? How you doing?
What's up, everybody? Yeah, glad to be here. I hear you, man. This week has been crazy busy, and it's always nice to kind of like shut off everything else and just do an hour of comic books, which is super low on how long I'd like to spend on comic books. But hey, I'll take what I can get at this point. So but we got a good one today. Excited for this show.
Yeah. So this month here at the Comic-Con Podcast, you know, we want to take a moment and appreciate all the women out there because this is, of course, Women's Month. So what Zach and I decided to do, and we talked about it, is, you know, bringing on some people in the community that whether we know them very well, very little, you know, to join here on the Comic-Con Podcast. Because, of course, this is the comic community podcast. So, you know, people who are, whether they're content creators on YouTube, if they're cosplayers, if they're just on IG and they're able to join us, you know, we wanted to kind of bring people on. So this week we actually have one of our newest members kind of here in the community that just kind of started off. We have Michelle from Moonlit Comics. Welcome, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. I love the podcast, so I'm honored to be here for an episode. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for being here.
Yeah. So again, where can people find you? What type of social medias do you have? We'll start off with those simple questions. So if anybody wants to follow you, they can.
So yeah, I'm Michelle, aka Moonlit Comics on Instagram, and now also on YouTube. Only a few videos over there so far, but I've started up a channel of my own. So yeah, same name, Moonlit Comics on both.
Nice.
Cool. So what we have, you know, again, bringing on Michelle, we definitely wanted to get a different angle because, of course, everyone who listens to us always mostly hears Zach and myself talk about different things. Our reviews are, what are we currently reading, you know, the different thoughts that we have on our articles. So, you know, to bring in a woman that is, again, especially newer to the YouTube and also, you know, and Michelle, you have a pretty good collection for a lot of the books that I've seen, you know, on your Instagram. So, you know, what kind of, when did you get started in comic book collecting?
So I am new, very new to this hobby. I've only been collecting comics for a little over a year now. And I started my Instagram in March. So it's been a year since I kind of joined the community. But it all started back in January of 2021, kind of by accident. My mom was getting ready to move and she was going through her storage room in the basement and came across a bunch of boxes that were full of my dad's things. My dad passed away back in 2000. So it had been quite a while and I didn't know she had all this stuff. And as I started going through the boxes, I found an envelope in the bottom of one of the boxes with 14 issues from the Star Wars Volume 1 run inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my, including issue one, which was awesome. But yeah, I mean, they were bagged, but not boarded and all together, like squished in this envelope at the bottom of this box. And, for some reason, out of all the things I found, that envelope just, it really intrigued me. I was really into the, to these comics. I remembered Star Wars from, you know, childhood. I knew my dad was a fan and I had never read or seen or opened a comic book until then. And, you know, I just, for some reason, I felt like I was meant to find those on that particular day for various reasons. And I decided I was going to finish the collection for him. He had made notes on the envelope of the missing issues. And my mom would tell me how every time they were at an antique shop or flea market, he would look for, you know, comics hidden in the back and stuff like that. So, yeah, I decided I would seek out some local shops and just try to finish the collection for him. And it has completely expanded and snowballed from there over the last year. I mean, I never in a million years thought that I would be so involved in this hobby, but, you know, now I can't imagine not having it in my life, like not being a part of this community. And I'm just really grateful that I came across those books and to see where it's led me. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a journey. So
Well, welcome to the community and the unfortunate addiction that happens when you open up one comic and then it, like you said, it snowballs and now you're collecting 40 titles and all the books and have to have them all. You will soon run out of space for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm already getting there. No, it's been awesome though. So yeah, super new to the hobby, but I've been loving it. I've been having a lot of fun.
I'm cruising through your Instagram right now. And I mean, there's almost every single title in here. So like what do you like? What do you lean towards? I'm seeing a lot of Werewolf by Night. Looks like you're into a lot of Bronze Age stuff too, right? You see more older stuff than the newer stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say like 80 to 90% of my collection is Bronze Age. That's kind of where my heart lies, especially Bronze Age horror titles. But I've always loved vintage things. And, so I love finding those old comics. I mean, I'm also now into modern stuff, of course, that evolved over time. But mainly I love the Bronze Age. I started to dabble in Silver Age too, but those are a little bit harder to find and more expensive. But so when I first started looking for Star Wars comics to finish the collection, I decided that I wanted to have at least like one other title that I should look for. And somehow I came across Ghost Rider and Son of Satan. Because I didn't want to hunt for like the major superheroes. Like I said, I do like horror stuff, and Ghost Rider and Son of Satan seem to fit that. So yeah, I started there, and then I kind of branched out to other stuff like Werewolf by Night, like you mentioned, and Swamp Thing and Dracula, and now I collect all sorts of titles, but that's kind of where, that's my main interest, I'd say.
Well, you picked good timing, honestly, because it seems like horror and those kind of titles are going to be somewhat like the new thing that hopefully the MCU is going towards, I'm a massive, massive Ghost Rider fan, and he just does not get the love he deserves in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of him, but, I think that horror and that supernatural, Justin and I have talked about it a lot, are just this whole genre that can break wide open, like by itself as well. And it doesn't have to be Avengers related necessarily. It can be its own little microcosm of a universe there. And it's just so great and underappreciated.
I agree. And I can't forget to mention Moon Knight. He's one of my, I would say Moon Knight and Ghost Rider are my top two favorite characters. So, I had to give him a shout out, but yeah, no, I love the world of Marvel horror, and I'm very excited to see that, we're going to start to maybe see those characters play a role in the MCU. And it seems like we're in a horror revival, like with comics these days, and I am all for it. Even in the indie titles too. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you said, you're mostly a Marvel collector, but of course you do dabble in some DC, and the Swamp Thing is definitely some awesome stuff, especially that early Swamp Thing, the Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson stuff is just amazing, and because it was, for a time, that era was amazing comics. And then of course you get into like the Alan Moore Swamp Thing, and even the new 52 Scott Snyder stuff. Swamp Thing has a rich history, and when that came on the DC universe, I think, and it sucks because it was only one season, but if, I don't know if you've watched that, but it's an amazing series. Like just the ability to go into that realm of the DC universe, which is something that we've never seen before.
I have not seen that series yet, but a few people have recommended it to me. So it's definitely on my list of something to watch, but I love Swamp Thing, and I fell in love with the character through the Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson run. I still need issue one. And of course, I don't have a House of Secrets 92 yet. But speaking of DC horror, I do like the House of Mystery and House of Secrets stuff. I collect those issues. And also, I think Spectre is pretty cool. So, and I dabble in a little bit of like Wonder Woman and, just kind of random things, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely more Marvel than DC for me, but I love Swamp Thing. You might be able to see my action figure back there. It's the new one that came out, the McFarlane, the DC multiverse figure. It's really cool. Highly recommend it. I don't collect action figures, but I had to have it. So,
You know who's a DC supernatural character that I love and doesn't get enough game time is Deadman.
Yes. Yeah.
There's something about Deadman. I don't know why I like him, because he's kind of a basic ass character, but damn, I love me some Deadman.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in what, like Justice League Dark, like volume one. Yeah. And he had like a mini series, but there's so many dark characters. So you know, Michelle, talk about a little bit about your, you know, newly created YouTube channel. Like, what do you do on there? Do you do comic hauls? Do you do comic book reviews? You know, tell us a little bit about that, so where then people can also, you know, subscribe to a new channel there on YouTube.
Sure. So I created the channel initially because I knew I wanted to review the Moon Knight show. And I will be doing a weekly episode review of the show when it drops. But my very first video was a Moon Knight trailer breakdown and discussion with a few friends. Mm-hmm. So that kind of kicked it off. And then I'm also doing a Killadelphia review. I'm reviewing the series by trade, like volume one, volume two. I just did this week, and I'll be continuing on with that. And I have a show called Comic Book Spotlight, which is a monthly themed show where just I'm inviting a few of my friends on to bring like a handful of their favorite books that match the theme for the month, so we can just kind of show them off and chat about it. And so yeah, actually episode two of Comic Book Spotlight will be next week, and it's Moon Knight Mayhem. That's the theme next week. So yeah, and we'll just see where it goes. I just wanted to have my own platform. You know, I've done a lot of guest appearances on other people's channels, which is always fun, and I hope to continue with that. But I just wanted to have my own platform. I figured it was time to kind of start that up, although I never thought I would ever create a YouTube channel, but here I am. So, it's been fun. I'm excited.
You're definitely talking to two people that have been on YouTube for a while, multiple channels, and it's definitely something that you never think that you're going to do, because you got to get used to it, especially like you said, you know, you just created it. You got to get used to looking at the camera, recording, mm-hmm. you know. I'm sure you've done your recordings and messed up multiple times and have to re-record. It happens. But once you do it live, it's there, right? So,
yeah, the live shows are easy, and that's what I'm going to stick with. You know, I haven't decided to dabble into pre-recorded content yet, but I think this year, as I start to attend more like comic conventions and different events, it'll be fun. Now I have a reason to take footage and, you know, maybe put some cool stuff together. So yeah, I definitely have plans for some of that later in the year.
That's cool. So what are your Grail books right now? I saw you posted, where did I see that? Grail, like go to. What's your book you're shooting for the most right now? Here it is.
So Marvel Spotlight 5.
Okay.
Is so that and Werewolf by Night 32 are my top two grails. I don't have any plans to buy Marvel Spotlight 32. I mean, Werewolf by Night 32 anytime soon, but I do have something in the works for Marvel Spotlight 5 coming up, and it'll be a low grade raw copy.
Hey, got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I'm very excited. That'll probably be like the biggest book that I'll be purchasing to date. I mean, I have like a Tomb of Dracula one and some other like bigger books, but as far as Grails, Marvel Spotlight 5 is the first one on my list, and Swamp Thing 1 for sure. I really like Doctor Strange too, so I would love to find Doctor Strange 169, like when the Strange Tales title changed over, and Tomb of Dracula 10, of course. I love that series, but you know, these are all huge, huge books. And until I start to get rid of some of my collection and, you know, sell things, I've only started to dabble in sales. So I think I've sold two books on eBay. So, you know, one day I'll be able to, like they say, make the hobby fund itself and land some of these bigger books. But
it's tough, you know, that initial selling of your collection. So like a couple of years ago, I'd had, I don't even know, 25 long boxes of comics. And I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing with these. They're just sitting around here. And I really wanted my grail, which was the X-Men 1. And I was so nervous to start selling books because I had complete runs, right? And you sell one and now it's all screwed up. So I started to do it. And as soon as the first book was like sold, I was all in. I was like, okay, now they all have to go. And so it's a different game to switch over from like the collecting aspect and then to, hey, I'm going to, what Justin and I kind of both do is spec, sell, and then save up for like the big grails, you know, like the ones you really want, the forever books. And it's just kind of how you evolve. You're still pretty new in the hobby. So enjoy it. Enjoy the completing of the runs and stuff like that. I mean, it's so much fun. Those days are some of the best.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll get there. Like, it's only been a little over a year, so I have time to kind of ease into selling and all that. But speaking of completed runs, I did finish the Star Wars Volume 1 run right around Christmas time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. That run and the Moon Knight Volume 1 run are the very first two full runs I've completed. So I think that's good for my first year.
And I think I saw they're all newsstand on your Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like when I started this, I didn't even really know like the difference or whatever, but I knew that I wanted them all to look the same. Like my OCD kicked in and the 14 issues right. that I started with were all newsstands. So yeah, I just like stuck with it and yeah. So that's, nice. You know, makes it a little more unique than just a random, you know, like a typical full run, I guess. But yeah, that'll stay with me until the end of my days.
What was the hardest one to track down? Obviously, like the Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I just recently picked up the Marvel Super Special magazine. Well, not recently, actually, but a little bit after I started collecting the run, I found out about the Super Special, and I think it's a super undervalued book because it collects the whole Empire Strikes Back series. And I love magazines in general, and I think cool format, so mm-hmm. I'm happy to have that to kind of supplement. But yeah, Star Wars 42 was the hardest one and the most expensive one to get. I did not have issue 2. The 14 issues were all like from the beginning of the run, like under issue 30, I'd say, but it was missing number 2. But I was lucky and I found a pretty clean copy of it at a really good price in the beginning, so I'm happy to have that now. Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I completed a run on,
I know, man.
On anything that's like not modern that I'm currently collecting. Right. For me, that's like my thing is Batman. So I'm working my way down.
You'll never complete that run.
Yeah. It's never going to be complete. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. Like even Star Wars, like that volume 1, I out of the 108 issues, right? I think it's like 108. I think I own maybe 15 to 20 of them, and of course they're the keys, and it's just I don't really want to complete that run even though I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So it's just like, you know, people are like, oh my god, how can you not have like the original run for Marvel? But that's awesome that you completed it in the past year that you started collecting.
Yeah, thank you. And it means a lot to me because, you know, it was in memory of my father, and that was my very first goal and the reason that I entered the hobby in the first place. So to have completed that in the first year and to have seen this this hobby just completely change my life is a beautiful thing. And I'm forever grateful that I found those comics randomly in a box last year.
Of course. I'm telling you to that.
I'm jealous. I'm actually like jealous. I'm actually like looking at your books right now and I'm like, damn, what run could I start to finish right now? Like, because those days, like Justin said, those days for, you know, him and I kind of felt like they're gone a little bit. But I'm looking and I'm honestly, this is the last thing I need to do is more something else I need to spend money on. But I would love to have that Ghost Rider run, the original Ghost Rider run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on that for sure. That's and I do have all the spotlights except for issue 5. So, but yeah, Ghost Rider, Werewolf by Night, and Tomb of Dracula, I'm pretty close to finishing those. But yeah, those are going to be tough to have complete because of those big books.
Absolutely.
Key issues, but yeah.
So you said, of course, that, you know, you started going to conventions and I guess you could tell the quick story of how you and I kind of met last year at Terrificon. But do you have any upcoming conventions this year that you're currently going to be attending?
So I definitely want to return to Terrificon this year. That was a blast. And I would also like to go back to the Baltimore convention. Mm. I went last year and I'm very close to Baltimore. I'm closer to Annapolis, but I mean, Baltimore is local to me. Terrificon was a little bit of a drive, but it was totally worth it. Other than those two, which I'll be returning to this year, I plan to be at the Three Men in a Basement comic swap in May. Those guys are amazing. And it sounded like the event last year was a blast, and I can't wait to, you know, to hang out with everyone and see what I know that it's going to be a complete success. It's going to be epic. So, but yeah, other than that, I'm not quite sure yet, but at least those three this mm-hmm. year.
So last year, for everyone listen, of course I went to Terrificon, and you hang out with everybody in the comic community, and Michelle was new, and you know, we were all in this giant group of people, and you know, everyone's drinking, and we really did. We caught eyes. We didn't really have a small conversation like, "Hi, I'm Nemesis Prime. Hi, I'm Moonlit Comics." And then, you know, we
which is always fun introducing yourself that way.
Too. Yeah,
of course. Like, because that's what it is. Like, you walk around the show floor, and you could be talking to someone, and then they walk up, and they'd be like, "Hey, this is Moonlit Comics. Oh my God, Moonlit Comics! I follow you. I'm Nemesis Prime." Like, that's literally how it is now. When you go to conventions, it's no more like your actual name. And God, we were at some bar. I don't even know what it was over there, but it's just crazy that how awesome the community is. Like, you attended Terrificon for the first time. You saw how great it was. You heard how much the comic swap, how fun it is as well. I'm of course going back to Terrificon this year. I'm trying to drag this other guy over here to fly out from Texas, but I don't think it's going to happen. But
it may. You know. It may. When is it again?
You have time to plan. I think July.
Yeah, the end of July.
I can probably make that happen. Yeah, I was supposed to come. Wasn't I supposed to come a couple years ago? What was the one I had bought the tickets for, and then COVID killed it.
Oh, the comic swap.
Maybe the swap. Yeah,
like in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they had one up in Connecticut, but yeah, I'll probably be attending that one too in May. I'll probably be going up there to those guys.
Oh, sweet.
We'll get together, of course. You know, it's a one day show type of thing. Those guys, and you just hang out. It's even if you don't buy anything, it's just a fun hangout. So,
yeah. And as far as Terrificon goes, and us meeting but not meeting, like by the time that we ran into each other, it was, you know, after hours, like you said, at the bar. Like, you know, everybody had kind of we had been at the convention all day, and we were just kind of in the same group, but there were so many people there, and we were all hanging out, partying. So like, and it wasn't until a couple months later that I realized, oh, I think we kind of met, but not. So, yeah, it's funny, but I was still really new into the hobby. And, that was my very first comic convention ever. So wow. It was really interesting. I had never been at an event where you have to introduce yourself by a screen name. It's bizarre, but it's fun, and the community is incredible. So great experience for sure.
Just walk around with the "my name is."
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we all need name tags, you know?
Yes, at whatever your name is. And it's the easiest way to just walk around. Because unless you're on YouTube and people see your face, like for the most part, you know, it's going to happen to you. It happens to me. It happens to Zach. People are like, "Hey, what's up, Nemesis Prime? I'm so-and-so." And it's just like, okay. Like, I don't know unless you're on YouTube and I've seen you, but I love people in the community,
right?
Because then you just have great conversations. You know, I've been recognized at comic shows, comic shops, conventions. Recently I was wearing my Lords of the Long Box hoodie, because of course Zach and I are also on Lords of the Long Box. And I got recognized at like a convenience store. I kid you not.
Oh, wow.
Someone's like, "Lords of the Long Box, isn't that a YouTube show?" And I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Are you on it?" I go, "Yeah, Tuesday nights." They're like, "Yeah, you did look familiar." And it was just like, yeah. I'm like it's not like a celebrity thing, but it's just so crazy that you never know where someone's reading or watching or listening to comic book world and you could find them.
Yeah, that's how I recognized you, was once I started watching Tebow's channel and I saw you on there. I was like, "Oh, he looks familiar. I'm pretty sure." Yeah. So, no, great stuff over on the Lord's channel. I love what you guys do over there. Always a good time.
So, kind of in honor of you know, it being Women's History Month, Michelle, what's it like being a woman in the comic community? Because it is kind of a dude fest in general. So, like, how do you like it? How is it being a woman? Do you get, is it any different? Do people, like, you know, like I said, it's so male dominated a little bit. Like, what's it like, I guess? Give us your experiences.
Yeah. So honestly, I was a little nervous to dive into the hobby being a female, because I assumed, and I guess I wasn't wrong, that it is It's all dudes for the most part.
You can be honest.
It's a fucking dude listening.
You're gonna understand.
It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, so I was like, oh gosh, like how is this going to go? But very quickly, once I found the YouTube community and the Instagram community, I realized how welcoming and open everyone is. And, I really didn't get, any kind of judgment or, pushback, and I've met a lot of great friends. So yeah, it surprised me. I did not expect this, especially in a male dominated hobby like this, but, and over time, I mean, it's taken a little longer, but I have met, some other female collectors, cosplayers. You know, there's, you know, everyone knows like the cosplaying females in the community, but I feel like it's harder to connect with, collectors like myself, because I haven't met a lot of females that are into like the older stuff, like the Bronze Age books. Mm-hmm. And so that is something I have noticed, but you know, it's all good. I feel like I have been respected. I haven't really ran into any issues or bias or, you know, creeps out there really. And I think a lot of that though is because I don't put myself out there on my Instagram page. I just keep it about the books. And I did that for a reason, because I didn't want to stand out more being a female. And I wanted to connect with people over the hobby and over my love for the books and my collection, and not get that kind of that random attention just for being a female. But I feel for the women in this hobby that, you know, do enjoy posting reels and selfies and cosplaying. And I am all about that life. And I'm sure that it's a lot harder for them to kind of weed through the bullshit that they receive just for being a female. But yeah, overall, my personal experience has been pretty good, and I'm thankful for that. So yeah, I hope
I think that's awesome. Answers yeah, that's such a great answer. And it's the absolute truth. That you really, yeah, you just post your books. You definitely don't fake it. You know, you're doing certain things that you want to do because you have the love for the hobby. You want to complete runs. You're reading that older stuff. And that stuff is, even for us, like even trying to read some of that stuff, sometimes it's great read. Sometimes it's also hard to read that stuff. I know there was a time where I literally was only collecting DC Comics and Transformers, and it took a girl at a New York Comic Con that I was waiting in line to tell me about a book called Saga. And I go, okay. And it was literally five issues in. And I came home from New York Comic Con and I went to this comic shop, and they were on issue five. The shop had issues 2 through 5 on the rack for cover price. And the number one was $15 on the wall. And I was just like, I don't know. Do I want to pay $15 for this number one? And I did it, and I, you know, jumped like crazy back into like the indie stuff, because I really wasn't into indies. You know, in the 90s, I was all about like, yeah, like Spawn and all that Image stuff. But for the longest time, it was Transformers and DC. And now it's like my indie kind of surpasses sometimes a lot of the Marvel and DC at times on a weekly basis, and because they're great reads. The women are awesome. They literally got me into reading indie books.
I love it. And I wanted to say thank you guys for spotlighting some of us women in the community during Women's History Month. And yeah, I think it's awesome of you guys to do that. And I'm honored to be one of your female guests. So yeah, definitely kudos for that. And I'm with you, Justin, with the Saga. I mean, even I didn't think I would ever get into reading modern comics or indie comics. But I've really been enjoying it. I just finished reading the Saga Compendium, and now I'm kind of pulling the new issues. And it's a really crazy, bizarre story, but but it was worth the read for sure. So
definitely.
Well, I think, you know, inclusivity in the hobby across the board is just better for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be just older white dudes anymore. You know, like it never needed to be that. But the difference we have, it's just only going to create better stories. And, you know, you hope that eventually you'll get these younger generations who, whether they're women or people of color or, you know, differing sexualities, grow up, write the comics and create new stories. I mean, that's how things change. You know, you want everyone to evolve and the whole community to evolve. And that's how comics get better. So I think you can tell by your Instagram how much you love the comics, and like Justin said, it really shows. So it's awesome. Like it's great to have people like you in the community for sure.
Thank you so much.
So of course, here on the podcast, we're always talking about comic book articles, film, TV stuff. And, you know, having a third person here is always nice because people typically know what Zach and I are going to say about an article. So let's kind of get into some of the articles that we're going to talk about tonight. So the first one, and it's great because we always have our guests, you know, we typically tell them, hey, you know, we'll send you some articles before the show if we have any. And you actually sent in a pretty cool article that, you know, we couldn't find anything comic book related, but you did find one. So it's over at comicbook.com, and the title of the article, it's a Captain America Doctor Strange hybrid character leads Marvel's new supernatural team. So Michelle, since you found this, why don't you tell us a little bit about this article and what's coming up?
Sure. So yeah, I don't know if this crossover is new news. I don't think it is, but there's going to be an AXE Judgment Day crossover event to begin this summer. So Avengers, X-Men, and the Eternals. And Marvel's kind of building up to that event in each of those separate titles. And they released a teaser yesterday of three of those books. Most notably, though, Avengers number 57, which is set to release June 22nd. That's going to introduce a team called the Secret Invaders, which is led by someone called Sergeant Sardis, Soldier Supreme of World War II. So he's kind of a mix between Captain America and Doctor Strange, it appears. And so to quote the article, actually, I had found two articles and I kind of mashed them both up. So I'm not sure which... if this is from that one, but so the Avengers are lost in time, and if they're going to stop Mephisto's grand plan, they'll need help from some of history's greatest heroes whose stories have never been told. So Sergeant Sardis is kind of leading this group of heroes from across time. So the team will also include a version of Ghost Rider, a version of Iron Fist, I think, as well as Phoenix, also like a dinosaur character. I mean, it sounds super crazy, but you know, I'm kind of into it. And I hadn't heard of the Judgment Day crossover until I found these articles. So, and I don't really read new Avengers, X-Men, or Eternals, but you know, I guess like any crossover event, it garners interest and kind of brings people into the titles. And I think I'll definitely, you know, keep my eyes peeled, and especially because I love Ghost Rider, and it looks like the version of him in this new team, he has like a Japanese style hat, kind of like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really funny looking. So
yeah, very Bushido look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Soldier Supreme character, he's, you know, he's like a gun toting, but also has like this Eye of Agamotto kind of amulet at the same time. It's like really bizarre, you guys, but
So I know Zach's reading the current run of Avengers. I can't really speak too much on it other than the picture that they showed. And it's definitely interesting, but Zach, I know you're reading Avengers.
So, yeah.
You know, what do you think about this?
It's pretty on point for Jason Aaron's run. Jason Aaron's also did, you know, I can't remember how many issues ago now, but we had the prehistoric Avengers where it was kind of like the 1 million BC. So it was like a different take on the Avengers. So these themes have been prevalent throughout his whole run. The Star Brand, the Phoenix Force, Thor, an Iron Man, a Doctor Strange, an Iron Fist, a Black Panther. All these themes have kind of like bled over. So you're seeing a lot of that going on as well in the crossover he's doing with the Avengers Forever. And yeah, so it's cool. Like Jason Aaron's pretty great. I mean, he writes really awesome characters, and it's always fun to have different takes on characters. So like I'm seeing here, you got Echo as the Phoenix. She's the current Phoenix Force holder. But then it looks like this other Phoenix Force wielder has pistols, which I want to see how that plays out. That looks pretty cool. And then there's even like some other dude with a pistol who's got the Star Brand and like a card in his hat. He looks like a kind of like a scoundrel. I mean, it's going to be fun. Jason Aaron's runs are always a little bit of fun as well. So it's always nice to see these, you know, and it's going to be building up to that big Avengers, X-Men, Eternals crossover as well, which hopefully will be good. But
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Marvel crossovers can sometimes start out really strong and then just peter out, unfortunately.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So but this is cool, man. The picture, the cover for this is dope. Like, I mean, in the way collecting is right now, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, any new iteration or first appearance of a character, I mean, with Disney Plus and like What If, a book like this, this is prime What If material. If one of these characters hit hard, like this Sergeant Sardos, you don't be surprised if you saw a What If version of Sergeant Sardos or something like that. You know, the sky's the limits here.
Oh, definitely. We've talked about it multiple times. Every week there's a hot new character, and
it
sticks for a little bit, and then it may come back. So you know, we'll see what happens when this drops. Michelle, you said this drops in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Avengers 57 drops in the end of June. I'm not sure when the crossover is going to start. I think a little bit later in the summer. I'm not too sure. Like I said, I'm not really reading any of those individual titles, but this caught my attention. It seems wacky. Yeah. It seems fun. And you know, we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. So we don't have any other comic book articles, so let's kind of move on over to some TV and movie news. Of course, this one is coming over from Deadline. So this was reported yesterday on the 9th. Warner Brothers release dates, The Flash, Aquaman are moving to 2023, as well as some of their other titles. So, of course, if you saw the preview kind of video that they dropped, I think it was like before the Super Bowl, and yes, even I think during Batman.
Like a month ago.
You know, 2022 was supposed to be the year of DC with the Batman, The Flash, Black Adam, and Aquaman, but as of right now, it looks like the only two movies that are staying in that 2022 release is DC's League of the Super Pets, which has been moved from May 20th to July 29th. And of course, Black Adam, which is now moving from July 29th to October 21st. Now, before everybody goes crazy and thinks because it's, you know, DC's fault, the article does go in and they talk about how a lot of these movies and every movie right now is very VFX heavy. And it's being pushed due to the logjam that many of these post-product effects houses are facing as the production's ramping up at, you know, during COVID, because it's, of course, a lot. The Flash alone, they talk about in the article, The Flash alone has 2,500 VFX shots from what has been told. So, again, before everyone jumps down the throat of Warner Brothers saying, oh, there's probably, you know, issues with the script or the actors or actresses, it's not. It's unfortunately, and it's throughout the entire world. You know, let's look at why people can't get brand new cars, because you can't find chips. But for us moviegoers, we're, you know, DC people out there like myself, I was excited to see all these movies, especially, you know, of course, The Flash and Aquaman. The first Aquaman was great. Flash, we're really wrapped up for that one. You know, now we had the Batman. We, of course, talked about it on our bonus content. We know Michelle, we just heard before we went live, she's going to see it soon. She has not seen it.
Yeah,
but Michelle, what do you kind of think of, you know, kind of these movies being pushed back a little bit? You know, were you excited to see them in 2022? Or, you know, what is your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'm honestly so out of the loop when it comes to DC movies and shows. You know, I'm all in on the Marvel stuff and I've been keeping up with that. So yeah, I mean, I don't really mind that these have been pushed. Just, not as a big fan. I mean, like I didn't really like the Peacemaker, like the Suicide Squad movie and the Peacemaker show. Like, that's not really my thing. But you know, I think now that I'm in the hobby and I'm kind of more tuned in, I will give the DC stuff a shot. So you know, I didn't see Aquaman 1, but Justin, if you recommend it, I'll go back and watch that for sure. And I think Black Adam seems really cool. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of indifferent to the dates being pushed, but I guess it's understandable with COVID and like you said, all the effects, post-production being delayed, you know, so it is what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, man. Zach, what about you?
I'm thinking about like all the money they spent on marketing for like, you know, oh, the year of DC 2022 and then like all these movies got pushed. And then I'm also like angry if it is a VFX thing, Are you really telling me if Meg number two, The Trench, better not have affected the DC movies? Like, first off, why the hell are they making a Meg number two? And if the special effects are that moved all these DC movies back, that's some bullshit right there. But I mean, I guess I get it too. Like you said, the VFX, I mean, all of Aquaman pretty much was a VFX. Like that movie had to have been primarily like 90% green screen, right? So
yeah, as soon as he gets to the ocean, that entire movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I get it, and you know, I don't know. It sucks because you're hyped and you're excited for this. Obviously, there's a lot of hype behind The Flash. Aquaman, I'm okay. I'm excited to see Aquaman 2, but I don't really care about it moving back. Shazam, obviously, the first one was surprisingly amazing, so that's a bummer. But Black Adam, I'm glad moved up, which is cool. Or wait, not up. It's still there.
Everything moved.
Yeah, moved back. So, but not too much further. I think Flash is probably the one I'm the most upset about. Just because it seems like that's going to be like a Spider-Man No Way Home type movie. You know what I mean? Like
multiverse
hype behind that. So, but I mean, hey man, it is what it is. So
yeah, it's definitely bad.
Nothing you can do.
I'm upset, especially for me being a DC fan. But you know what it is? We've seen this with on the Sony side too. You know, you figure Venom that got pushed back a year. You had Morbius is hopefully coming out in under a month.
Right. We'll believe hopefully. It when we see it. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Until I can physically buy tickets for the movie, yeah. I'm not thinking it's coming out. But we'll wait and see. So. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. There was a trailer that dropped yesterday.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. There was a Disney Plus show that is coming out in May. I am talking about the Kenobi trailer.
Now, yes.
Boys and girls, children of all ages, that trailer was epic.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, agree.
I will tell you that here is where my situation. I was working from home and I was boxing up some stuff from a Whatnot sale. And I was watching the Disney Investor Day, like most people were. I was literally watching him talk about Encanto and how great it was and all the other things that are going on in Disney, like they're doing the Galactic Star Cruise and everything else and all about the parks. And then he says, you know, they talk about Book of Boba Fett. They talk about Mandalorian. And he says, let's talk about a first look at Obi-Wan Kenobi. I was screaming my head off that I scared the shit out of both my cats, that they just went bolting out of the room and didn't want to see me for like a good 20 minutes. And I am just staring at my phone, screaming my head off that this trailer is happening. Let's talk about it. Inquisitors, amazing.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan in it, amazing. The music, I can still watch it. The chills that I'm getting from the beginning to the end were just awesome. We've talked about it previously. Certain people would be showing up in this movie. We've said it that they were going to be having lightsabers. They rumored that Rupert Friend was going to be the Grand Inquisitor. It's confirmed officially, and that book blew up, the Darth Vader book. I cannot wait for this series. I think I've never been this excited about Star Wars since probably Mandalorian season one.
Really?
Without a doubt. Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. Like,
yeah, but what about when Force Awakens came out? Weren't you excited about that?
Before it came out. For Force Awakens, yeah, I was, but you didn't know how to you just didn't know what to expect, especially with these new characters. Like,
yeah.
I think Kenobi's watching the trailer for the first time, I think the two things that when you originally watched the Force Awakens trailer before you watched the movie, the two things that really got you hyped was, of course, the legacy characters, seeing Han and Chewie, mm-hmm. and the igniting of a lightsaber. Right. I think that's the big things, not to take away a brand new character in the form of Rey, who we don't know, or Finn or Poe. But I think, and even the new droid, I think those were the two takeaways when you originally saw that trailer. With Obi-Wan, you know, we know where it lies in the timeline, but we never got to see this type of story. So I am absolutely cannot wait. And I hate that, like, on Disney Plus, things drop at, like, especially for me here on the East Coast, it's 3 a.m. So now it's like, now I'll be getting up at 3 a.m. to be watching these episodes to not be spoiled.
Just watch it when you first wake up and don't look at your phone. What the hell?
Dude, you know how hard that is?
I do, because that's exactly what I do. Because you bastards always ruin shit for me, so I don't even turn on my phone before, so I just watch them.
I'm going to be like that with Moon Knight. It's going to be really tough.
See? So Michelle knows. So Michelle, you saw the trailer, right?
Yeah.
What did you think about it? Or how much, of course, you know, finishing your Star Wars, you know, and now we're getting a Kenobi show. Like, how excited are you for this?
I am super pumped. The trailer was epic. Before I got into this hobby, I had only seen the original trilogy, you know, back in the day. So actually over this past year, I rewatched the original trilogy, all the prequels and the new stuff and, you know, the Rogue One and Solo movies and The Mandalorian and all that. I have not seen Rebels, though. Or any of the animated stuff. I know. Don't kill me.
No.
But they're on my list. But so I have a little bit of a kind of a knowledge gap there since I haven't seen them. But no, the trailer looked fantastic. I'm with you with the music. OMG. And I found out that John Williams is actually creating new music for the show. Like new original music for the Obi show. And the two songs that they used in the trailer, I thought it was interesting that so Duel of the Fates, we heard during Phantom Menace, and it was during young Obi-Wan's battle with Darth Maul. And then the other song, Battle of Heroes, we heard during Revenge of the Sith, during his lightsaber battle with Anakin. So I think it's really, really cool that they chose those two scores for the trailer. And I think it's a good sign that it's directed by Deborah Crowe, who worked on The Mandalorian. So she, I think, only directed two of the Mandalorian episodes, but, you know, I think she's going to do a fantastic job with this. And yeah. Oh, I also wasn't expecting to see that kind of neon sign city, but I'm really hyped for it. And the writer said that it was intentionally supposed to have like a Hong Kong vibe or feel to it. And like I said, I haven't seen Rebels, so I don't know too much about like the Grand Inquisitor, but the female Jedi hunter Reva, she seems like she's gonna be pretty badass. So yeah, those are kind of my takeaways. I think it's I like kind of where this is set, like before A New Hope, and I'm really interested to just to see how it is. It looks so good from the trailer. So
and I think for you, since you have not seen Rebels, I think this is perfect because this is before Rebels,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, this would be before Rebels. So yeah, I wouldn't watch Rebels yet. I would watch the Obi-Wan series, and then once it's finished, then you watch Star Wars Rebels without a doubt.
Okay.
I think this has been like my most anticipated. You know, there's always been this rumor since Mandalorian, and so since we saw like the resurgence of Star Wars on Disney Plus, like there's gonna be an Obi-Wan show, there's gonna be an Obi-Wan, and it's the one I've been looking forward to the most because I think when you look at all the characters in the Star Wars universe, despite your opinions on the prequel trilogy, the original trilogy, and even the sequel trilogy, and whether you liked it or you didn't like it, Obi-Wan might be the one character who has never disappointed across all the movies. You know, people have issues with Luke in the sequel trilogy. People have issues with Vader in the prequel trilogy, the Anakin character. But Obi-Wan has nailed it. Like, every single iteration of Obi-Wan has just been epic. He's such... like the greatest Jedi, in my opinion, honestly. I know they always say like Yoda, but to me, it is Obi-Wan, hands down, the greatest Jedi. And I'm just so excited to see his story continue. And a couple in this other article I read, two things that I really liked is I like how they kind of said that this is during his time, he's kind of like down and out. He starts at the beginning of his story, he's rather broken and faithless, beaten, and somewhat given up, which is such a change for Obi-Wan, which I feel like is going to be in an actor like Ewan McGregor to take like a character that you never see in that role as like broken and given up. It's going to be amazing acting. I feel like I'm already like poised for it to just be for him to just crush it. The other thing I thought was really, really cool was the director said, let me find it where she said it. She talks about seeing Darth Vader. So when Darth Vader comes out, she said, when he first came on set for us, it definitely had a very special feeling. The first time I saw him in costume, he was towering over me. He was literally almost twice my size. You know, and you go back to like, you know, Justin and I are kind of the old guys here. And Vader was a horror character when we're growing up, you know. It's only since the story has progressed has he become kind of like this anti-hero and sympathetic character. But in Star Wars and even in Empire Strikes Back, he is a villain, one of the scariest villains out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I kind of liked that little quote, how it people are still getting this feeling from Vader that Vader is still, even knowing how his story goes, who he really is and everything, he can still scare you. He still is the bad guy.
Yep.
I'm so excited. Did you guys
see that photo? I guess it was a set photo. But that was just so dope. When I saw that, I was like, yes. You guys know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, Hayden in the armor?
Yeah. Coming out of the egg thing or whatever?
Yeah. I think I posted it either on my Instagram or I think I posted it on the Comic-Con's Instagram.
Yeah.
Amazing. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of of course, people are currently complaining that the Grand Inquisitor doesn't look like he does in Rebels. Listen, it's still early. They could still change a little things post. People are speculating characters like, will Black Chrysanthemum show up? Will Cad Bane show up? Is Solo in there? Because there's a part where there's someone in the alley with Reva, and it looks like the character's holding a blaster. So, and it looks like Han's. Do I think the actor who played Han in the Solo movie is going to show up? I don't think so. I think it's probably a Jedi and doesn't want to reveal themselves as a Jedi because, of course, that's the idea is that the Inquisitors are hunting them. There's just so much to look at that series. And especially, like you said, like Ewan McGregor is a great actor. And to come back and to be that down and out, like PTSD character
right.
in this is just going to be amazing. And I can't wait for May for this to happen. Like it's definitely been, you know, we know who the Inquisitors are because of Rebels. If you read the Darth Vader run, if you
Fallen Order.
Yeah. The Fallen Order stuff, same thing. So, you know, we know kind of what's going to happen and people are like, oh, will Darth Maul show up? Listen, Darth Maul is not going to show up. Darth Maul, the only time he was looking for Kenobi or found Kenobi was of course, later on. Like that's just the way it goes in the storyline. So don't people are speculating that he's going to show up. I don't think it is. So that's it. We'll definitely do a preview talk about Kenobi in May, of course, right before Star Wars drops. But of course, we always like to end our podcast with what are we currently reading, where we take a look at either series we're currently reading or something that we're picking up on a weekly basis, brand new. Let's have our guest go first. Michelle, what are you currently reading in the world of comic books?
So, okay, I picked two titles. One is an ongoing series, and one is a new first issue. So I'll start with the ongoing, which is Killadelphia. I know I mentioned that earlier that I love it so much. I'm reviewing it on my channel as like my very first kind of book review. I mean, it's fantastic. It's written by Rodney Barnes, with art by Jason Sean Alexander. And I'm telling you guys, the two of them together make a fantastic team. Have either one of you read Killadelphia? Are you familiar with it at all?
I read the first few issues and then I stopped. Zach, what about you?
Okay.
I'm familiar with it, but I've never read it. It's always kind of been one of those ones on my list, but I just had never got around to.
Yeah, same. I mean, I just started reading it. Recently, actually, there's a spinoff series in the same world called Nita Hawes Nightmare Blog. Yes. So I started with Nita Hawes, and I loved that so much that I decided I needed to go back and start from the beginning with Killadelphia. They just released volume 3 of the trade paperbacks, and they're on issue 16 right now. So I'm reading through the trades, trying to catch up so I can continue to pull them you know, monthly and keep up with the single issues. But I highly recommend. I mean, if you're not familiar with it at all, it follows a beat cop named James Sangster Jr. after the murder of his father, who was a homicide detective in Philadelphia. And he finds out that his father was investigating a cult of vampires led by President John Adams, who have plans to like cause chaos and take over the city. And there's just, it's a horror comic. And yeah, I mean, even if you're not into vampires or horror, I would recommend it because it's a fresh take on the whole thing. The writing is fantastic and the art is insanely good. So I would highly recommend, 10 out of 10, and I can't wait to continue with that, and Nita Hawes. So that's my ongoing. You want me to save my second pick for after?
No, I want to touch on real quick. Nita Hall, the Nightmare blog is something that I actually talked about when it first came out, when the first issue dropped. I didn't realize when I picked that book up and I read it, I didn't realize that that was part of the Killadelphia, like a spinoff.
Yeah, me neither.
And I really liked it because it's kind of like a ghost, like a Ghostbusters type of thing where, you know, she writes this blog and is trying to search for demons. But yeah, that for those five issues were pretty intense for the Nita's, the Nita Hall's Nightmare blog. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that Nita is set in Baltimore, which is local to me. So it's really nice. And they do a great job of including, you know, like actual places and scenes from Philadelphia and Baltimore and Annapolis, like in these books. So I really appreciate that, being on the East Coast and being local to these cities. But yeah, I didn't know Nita was a tie-in either. And honestly, you don't have to know anything about Killadelphia to read Nita Hawes. I think it didn't start to really tie in until issue 4, and it's just a very small kind of connection so far. So they're definitely independent, but in the same world.
Yeah, definitely. And what's your other pick for what are you currently reading?
So my second pick has to go to Ghost Rider number 1, the brand new series. I think issue 1 just dropped like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I haven't read any modern Ghost Rider runs, but I love the character and I love Johnny Blaze. That's my Ghost Rider, you know? So when I heard they were coming out with a new series based on Johnny Blaze, I freaked out and I absolutely had to get it. Some really cool covers too. I think I got like 6 of them.
Yeah. There's some good ones.
Really good ones. Yeah. And there's a wraparound cover that has like all the different versions. Yeah. Ghost awesome. Rider, even the Western Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. So that's super dope. But honestly, I was not expecting to love it as much as I did. And when I read it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm hyped for this series. And I read it again. I read it twice because it was that good. And so, yeah, I mean, it follows Johnny Blaze. He's like attempting to live a normal life with his family, but he's dealing with like depression and trauma and mental issues after a motorcycle crash. And so he's like seeing things, he's having nightmares, he's talking to a therapist. And we start to realize that his life is anything but normal. And yeah, like shit's about to go down. And it was a really good read. I thought it was well written. I loved the art. It felt like very cinematic and very trippy and gruesome. And
that twist at the end. We actually talked about it, the week it came out. I'm not a Ghost Rider fan, but I picked it up and I thought it was a pretty badass read as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you liked it too. What do you think, Zach? Because you're a Ghost Rider fan.
I loved it. And I loved it. And then I'm also kind of like, oh my God, where are you going with this? I want more. I wanted to suggest to you, you said you haven't read much like modern Ghost Rider. You should pick up. It's should be easy. It's only the most recent series, I think in 2019 by Ed Brisson, and it's 7 issues. I think they ended it kind of early. I don't know what happened, but it's really good. And it has Johnny interacting with Danny Ketch, and it kind of brings back all the big Ghost Rider characters. There's a change with Danny Ketch as well, to his character. It's like I said, there's only 7 issues, and I think there's like 2 one shots, one about Lilith, Mother of Demons, and then one about Michael Bandolino, Vengeance as well. So check those out. It was a great run and I was really enjoying that, but like I said, I'm not sure what happened as to why they canceled it after 7 issues. But I love, I can't wait for more Ghost Rider. We need more and more. And this being the 50th anniversary of Ghost Rider, it's got to be epic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Issue 1 was great and I hope they can keep it up, keep this momentum. And this is my first time reading anything by Benjamin Percy or reading anything with art by Corey Smith. But so far I'm a fan of both of them. And so I'm on board for this one. Great first issue.
Percy's been killing it. He also has been writing like a bunch of the X-Men stuff. He did like the recent run of X-Force. He's been really good at. As far as I know, he's kind of like a newer writer. He's newer to me as well, but I'm definitely enjoying him. So, good pick.
Thanks.
Nice. Zach, you want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, I can go. So, we haven't done any hot garbage in a while, but to be honest, I haven't really, there hasn't been a book that like has really bothered me lately. So my shout out book will be, I'm looking at my list here. I really liked, a double shout out book. I really loved the Star Wars Han Solo and Chewbacca. Number one, I thought that was super fun. Old school Han and Chewie. I loved, I don't know if I should spoil it. Oh, well. Not spoil it, but the Greedo. Did you read this one yet, Justin?
Yeah. I read it.
I liked how they have Greedo in it, and you're now seeing like possibly like some backstory behind maybe like why Han shot Greedo.
What? Oh my god.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. It was fun. And I love Chewbacca. I love Han and Chewie in general. Like the solo movie, I love it all. The two of them together might be the best dynamic duo of all time. So that was cool. And I also really, really enjoyed Crimson Rain number 3. I thought just as like a comic in Star Wars lore, it was super interesting with the archivists like backstory and more about Kira. And Kira's kind of really developing into this like super dynamic character, which I wasn't really sold on in the Bounty Hunter storyline. You know, Justin and I have talked about this a lot, how we kind of thought that War of the Bounty Hunters was kind of a garbage little miniseries, but I'm hoping with this Crimson Dawn stuff, we get more Kira. So I really, really like that one. But my pick of the week, and I don't know if this is going to piss people off or not, because I know there's a lot of hate out there for it, was Punisher number 1 by Jason Aaron. And I know a lot of people are upset about the new Punisher emblem. And, you know, I'm not too crazy about it either. Like, I don't necessarily believe in the Justin and I talked about this ad nauseum and previous older episode about the whole social justice issue behind Punisher's emblem. And I'm just kind of like, man, let fiction be fiction and let's just move on. But the way it is so great in like his introduction and his interaction with the hand and like his role as this like new leader and head assassin of the hand, no pun intended. And so cool. And the big reveal at the end of the book, it's awesome because I'm thinking, Justin, you and I, we were talking about the Punisher's a tough character because he hasn't evolved since the Jump Street. Like he always, his family was murdered and that's been the case forever. And for 50 years, this guy can't get over the murder of his family and he just never has changed. That's been him. And something happens in this book that could change all of like the Punisher's like motives and whatnot. So
teaser.
It's really cool. I'm excited to see where this goes. I trust Jason Aaron. He hasn't really ever let me down in a title, so I'm excited for more Punisher. And he's been gone for so long. So Punisher number 1. Check it out.
I'm excited to read that. I picked it up too. Multiple covers. I'm all about it. So it's really good to know you loved it.
Did they have multiple covers? I felt like I only saw one.
So yeah, I actually got the Alex Ross Timeless cover. They actually had a spoiler cover, but it wasn't a spoiler. It's just a really cool cover with the current logo on it, and then cover A. So,
wow. See, Zach, what happens? Your comic shop doesn't get more than one cover.
I know, but I also felt like I looked at it on. I feel like I looked somewhere to see what other covers, thinking it was going to be a number one, and there'd be like what. A through Z covers with Marvel number ones, and I felt like I didn't see anything. I'm gonna have to look again.
I think there's at least 5 or 6, and maybe a couple ratios, but I don't really do the ratio variants or anything. But yeah, I'm excited about it, and I'm hoping to find Han and Chewie as well. Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, my books, honorable mention, of course, this week, we had him on the podcast a few weeks ago. Of course, Livio Romandelli's The Kill Lock Artisan's Wraith. It's a sequel to his original Kill Lock run. It did not disappoint for issue 1, without a doubt. Of course, the sequel, the Artisan Wraith character, we're introduced to more new classes in this world of mech robots, and it's the continuation. We get the Resolve class in there, two hunters that are been assigned to hunt down the Artisan Wraith, and of course Livio's art is just stellar at some points, that it's just badass. The two bounty hunter robots that they talk about, they have some good dialogue, and he's not afraid to, you know, go into that PG-13 R-rated without a doubt for language. So of course, gotta give a shout out to Livio for putting out issue 1 this week. Another honorable mention, I have to talk about it, Gwenverse number 1. it wasn't bad. It's Tim Seeley. Like it's Tim Seeley writing. Like you can't knock Tim Seeley. He's a great writer. So it definitely is interesting. I like him writing Gwen Stacy because I feel like they really haven't had a good Gwen Stacy Ghost Spider Gwen series since Jason Latour did it in the beginning. It's been kind of, it's had its highs and lows, and especially with her being in a lot of the Spider-Verse stuff and the Web Warriors run. I definitely like this 5-issue mini that's going to happen with the Gwenverse. So just an honorable mention, but of this is my pick of the week. And, Zach, again, we don't talk about what we're currently reading. So I went to 3 comic shops and I kept seeing this cover and I was just like, I don't know. It kind of looks cool, but I was like, I don't know if I want to pick it up. And by the 3rd comic shop, I said, you know what? Screw it. It says it's 1 of 5. So I only got to go 5 issues in. It's from AWA Studios. The name of the title is called Hit Me. And of course, with newer titles that nobody knows about, I of course like to tell you what the synopsis is. So it's a high octane crime thriller from Christina Foss. The main character, her name is Lulu. She has a very unique profession. She gets paid. And this is going to be terrible because we're talking Women's Month. she gets paid by the bruises when she is a witness to an execution in one of her regular clients. She escapes into the night with a briefcase filled with diamonds and a pack of killers on her trail. Navigating the dark underbelly of decaying early 1990s Atlantic City, one step ahead of her pursuers, Lulu must call upon one of her street-born instincts and underworld connections in what will be the longest and possibly longest night of her life. So, it's very interesting because, again, so her job in the 90s is kind of she gets paid by clients, like high net worth people, to go there, and they basically kind of beat the crap out of her for money. It's kind of like a BDSM. Literally, right off the first page, she talks about, I get paid $50 for a punch in the face, or I get paid. She goes, spanking is cheap. You want to hit me in the face, it's $50 more. $100 if you want to use a closed fist, that's not even counting the fee for marks. She's like, I charge a flat rate fee for getting any bruises that are left that I can cover up with clothes. And it's just like, you're like, wait, what? Like, it literally hooked me on like the first 2 pages. And like I said, it goes into this whole thing where she has a friend named Danny, and he's kind of like a bodyguard in a way, like just kind of like an overprotector. They have like a little bit of a connection, but they're not boyfriend, girlfriend. And then, of course, she witnesses this murder and she finds this bag of diamonds. And now she has to kind of, she's on the run. So, of course, it's going to be 5 issues. It's going to be all set in one night, so which is really awesome. So it's not kind of like a 5 issues and it's drawn out. But what I really liked about the issue is at the end, Christina Foss actually talks about this whole world and like how this got, how she says it could be a challenging read for people that don't want to see women kind of get beat up and have bruises. But she kind of goes into it kind of having the ideas of the kink from, like, of course, 50 Shades of Grey. But it's really interesting because she goes into this whole thing, and it's at the end of the article, it actually hooked me. She goes, boxers get paid to get hurt for the entertainment of others, but no one is offended by a black eye from their line of work. They are seen as tough guys, badasses. That's who Lulu is, a badass hero who will walk through a fire to save someone she cares about. And then again, it also goes into talking about like how sex work and how it's a specific line of duty, how women get paid, they have their fees for what it is. And, they choose that profession and, they choose their limits and the time and what clients they will and will not see. So it was just a very interesting read. And again, with this being Women's Month, I was just like blown away by not only the comic, but the article at the end. And I would love to have Krista on this podcast to really talk about this series and just how this got adapted onto comic books. So that's my pick of the week. It's called Hit Me from AWA Studios. It's a crime thriller. If you go out there and check it, I'm sure if your comic shop buys a lot of indie stuff, definitely can pick it up. And she did also Bad Mother and Redemption, 2 other series by AWA. So very interesting read.
Good to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all that info. It definitely, it's intriguing for sure.
Oh, a different spin
on like kind of like the crime thriller, sex worker type of story. And it's written by a female, which is, I didn't expect. So yeah. Yeah.
I would definitely give it my thumb of approval. And again, thumb, it's only going to be five issues. So it's not like my thumbs up of approval. Cause you know what it is? A lot of these indie titles, you really never know. Are you going to get in?
Right.
You get that first issue, you kind of get hooked. Now it's like, well, it's an ongoing series. You never know when it's going to end. And now you're buying it every month. But with this, I know it's five issues and I'll enjoy it. And either I'll keep it at the end or I'll sell it to someone who wants to read it. So I'm excited. I'm definitely excited for this as a four more issues left. So that's it for what we currently are reading. Again, we really want to thank you, Michelle, Moonlit Comics, for jumping here on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was a blast.
Of course.
I enjoyed joining you guys tonight.
And before we get out of here, you know, if you want to say any last words, make sure you plug your YouTube channel where people can find you. We'll, of course, be putting it in the description of the podcast, but let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, so it's at Moonlit Comics on Instagram. I'm always on Instagram, so I'd love to connect with you over there. I love chatting with the community. I'm always sharing books from my collection. And now I'm also over on YouTube at Moonlit Comics as well. I have a ton of fun things planned for the channel. So yeah, please subscribe, and I hope to see you there as well. And yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. So thank you guys for the opportunity. I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. I always enjoy listening to the show, and I can't wait to see what else you have in store for Women's Month.
Cool. Yeah, we definitely have. Right now, we have scheduled at least two more ladies, females, women for this month. Reached out to a few people here in the community. We're excited to have them on. I reached out to a megastar. Has not returned my email, but I'm hoping that they will be coming on.
Right?
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, their time is money, and I'm sure they're very busy. But I put my big boy pants on, and
Should I make a guess? Would you also say her voice is money?
No,
it's not that. Okay, no. I thought maybe you were going to be reaching out to your girl who voices Ahsoka.
Oh, Ashley Eckstein. No. It's comic book related. It was comic book related. I don't want to. I'll tell everyone at the end of the month if we don't get her. That's her all. And Zach doesn't even know either.
You'll share your failure if it's failure.
It happens. But you know,
and of course you got to take the shot though, man. Shoot the shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, we appreciate everybody on the Comic-Con podcast listening to us, of course, on all the major podcast platforms. This is season 2, episode 10, and we're out of here. Peace out, everybody.